Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we've got a good sermon today. I know you'll like it. Last week we preached about heaven, and will we know our loved ones in heaven? And now we're going to be looking at what is heaven really like, or we could say the blessings we have in heaven. And just call your friends and tell them he's going to preach about heaven, and we're all going to go be there because we're trusting Jesus. You have to trust Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father. Nobody gets to heaven but by me, Jesus. So you have to have Jesus. Tell them to listen, all your friends, and listen. And if they're not trusting Jesus, tell them to listen. Maybe today, I'm just guessing today they'll open their heart to the Lord. Well, I want to read some of the letters, first of all, because you enjoy hearing that. I think somebody say something that maybe I should read more letters and shorter sermons. And so I voted against that. But I do want to share some of the letters. So here's one. The first one I'm reading is Groveland, Florida. And they write, I would like to request the new song Bible study and any literature you have to help me to know Christ more, to help me to know what the Word says, and to help me to give up my old ways, to come to give my all for Christ. Thank you all, and may God bless you and keep you safe and well. Well, now, this is beautiful because this person here is saying, I'm a Christian. I've accepted Jesus. But this is a lady that writes this. And she says, I'm going to give all to Christ. That's what you seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the first thing should be Jesus. And she says this, the new song. And that's a little Bible study we put out every month. And so you write to us, and I'll give you the address in a little while, in a few minutes here. And we'll send it. It's free and postpaid, and it's a Bible study you'll have, and I know you'll enjoy it. Here's Palestine, Arizona. And they said, 49 years ago, I gave up my farming career after receiving a call from God to preach. Pray for me as I prepare a message on the sleeping giant, the New Testament Church. And I always admire these people that are in there. They're in some kind of a business or profession, and God speaks to them, puts his hand on their shoulder, and there they are. They have their own business and everything, his farm and going, and he sets it aside, and he's going to preach the gospel. Now, everybody can't preach the gospel. If everybody was a preacher, we have a mess on our hands. We got to have these the standbys and the soldiers in the trenches and all the rest of you helping us. But somebody has to preach too. So, and though the ones that God picks up, those are the ones to go. Here's Adel, Iowa. This is to let you know how much we enjoy your program. We consider you our church. My husband is 97 and I'm 87 and pretty much homebound. We enjoy all the special music and songs and church. Every Saturday night, we read the scripture that you'll be preaching on Sunday morning. And so then when you get the new song, this little publication, we do have the sermons and the text. And then we have a whole list of letters, little excerpts from letters. You'll just love it. The new song. Keep that in mind. I'll read one letter, and then we'll talk about it. Here's Valencia, Trinidad, West Indies. From the West Indies, we hear from all over the world. This letter's from the West Indies. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I saw your program on Saturday in March, and I was very impressed with the program. I would like to know if someone commits suicide, can this person go to heaven, your brother in Christ? And we have a little booklet. If a Christian commits suicide, will they go to heaven? And if they're a born-again Christian, if they know the Lord, they'll go to heaven. And we send it out on a free will offering basis. And we also like to do that. We just help you out, and here's gold. We'll send it even though it's international. In the West Indies, we'll send it there. So if you'd like to get the new song, you get write this down, and we'll give it on the screen here. The Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002-2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you just write and say new song or whatever you'd like, and we'll be happy to send it to you. Well, now our message for the day is, what is heaven really like, or what are some of the blessings of heaven? And boy, I tell you, I just love to preach about heaven. There are so many wonderful blessings we have in heaven. And I said some of the blessings. You can't name all the blessings we have in heaven, but I've jotted down 11 today. So don't go to sleep for a minute, because you'll miss a couple of good points. And you don't want to miss anything about heaven, because it is wonderful. So when we read about heaven with the St. John writes, and he says, in heaven, for one thing, there'll be no more loneliness. So many people are alone and forgotten in this world. Everyone is busy doing their own things, and people feel left out. And we get letters from people, and sometimes it's young people, and they feel alone, and they feel like they don't have Christian support, and they're searching. Maybe they wonder what to do in life. And then we hear from shut-ins and people that can't get out, people that are on sick beds, people in nursing homes. I'm going to tell you, the Christian Worship Hour has three things in mind, three goals. The first one is to honor and glorify God. The second is to bring people to Jesus, to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the third one is to comfort God's people, like he told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And that's exactly what we intend to do. And so when we come to get to heaven, nobody's left out. We're part of the family. Jesus Christ is the elder brother. And oh, will we have a glorious time together. And then the second thing is no more sea. And Revelation 21, verse 1, St. John declares that there'll be no more seas. And in St. John, when he wrote, the sea was a great unknown, and they didn't know what was beyond the end of the sea. And they didn't know, and then they would talk about the monsters in the sea. And then they would think about how that so many went out to the ships and went to sea and never came back. And it was just a foreboding thing, that sea. And it was a place that was just a shipwreck and loss of life, and it was a terrible place. And he says, there'll be no more sea. That's all gone. And then he says, there's no more death. Death raises up its ugly head in the Garden of Eden, and it has been with us ever since. And it scared some people half to death, and it ought to, because if you're not ready to die, you ought to be scared to die. And you're never ready to die until you have Jesus. And he takes away the fear of death. The sting of death is gone. And he's going to be with us in the valley of the shadow of death when we come to the end of life. He's going to take us to be with himself. You have to have Jesus. You say, I want Jesus. How do I get him? I'll tell you how you get Jesus. The first thing you do is you come pray and just talk to him. When you pray, you just talk to him. Don't get fancy. Don't need thou and these and all the rest of it. Just talk to Jesus, see? And tell him you're a sinner. Now, he knows it. He wants you to confess it. Dear Jesus, something like this. Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll make you the Lord of my life, and I'll live for you. I'll leave all these other things off. I'll put you first, and he'll show you how to live. And then thank him for saving you. And you know, in Revelation 3:20, it says, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. And he's knocking at some of your hearts right now. And he says, if any man open that door, and I will come in. You open the door, you just say, come into my heart, see? And I will come in, he says. I'll sup with him, I'll fellowship with him, and he with me. So when you do that, you won't fear death anymore. You'll say, death, oh, that's wonderful. I'll see the Lord. I'll see glory. And then it says, there'll be no more death. And then it also goes on, and it tells us how that the last enemy that's going to be conquered and destroyed is death. And so Jesus came and did that and took care of that. And that's all settled and all done. And then there'll be no more sorrow. Do you have any sorrow? You say, no, I don't have any sorrow. I don't have any sorrow at all. Well, let me cure you. Watch the TV news any night of the week, and you'll get sorrowful when you see the little children suffering and you see the people dying for Jesus. You'll get sick and you'll get sorrow in your heart. Well, there'll be a day when we won't have to see the suffering and the dying and the hall of the terrible things. This thing of sorrow, and you know, in the New Testament, there are more than 30 passages where the word sorrow or sorrowful are used. And it always carries the thought of grief and pain and distress and travail and the hard things in life. My dear sainted mother, God bless her, I owe her so much. My mother wouldn't watch television because she says it makes me too sad. She wouldn't even watch it. And so when we get to heaven, we're going to say there'll be no more sorrow anymore. There'll be a big sign that says, no sorrow allowed. Nobody comes beyond this border, and it'll never come. No more sorrow. No more crying. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 21, verse 4. Don't you hate to see people crying? Don't you hate to see children crying, a little child crying? And then the Bible, you read so many people who weep. We read about weeping saints in John chapter 16, verses 20 to 22. We have weeping soul winners, Matthew 22, verse 11. We have weeping sowers, sorrowers in Luke chapter 7. We have weeping servants in Acts chapter 20, verse 19. We have a weeping Savior in John 11, 35. And there was a great prophet named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, we read of him in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1. And we're told, he says, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. And he's weeping and weeping and sorrow and trials, and we all have them. You don't have to be very old before you shed some tears, before you cry. And when we go, oh, God knows, and he weeps with us, and he's touched by our infirmities, and he cares for us. And so he has this place that someday we'll be there. No sorrow, no weeping, no sorrow. All of the wonderful things he has prepared for us, and all of the hard things are gone. Gone forever, never to be seen again. The psalmist writes it this way in Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. He says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We're in the nighttime now, dear friends, but morning is coming, and that glorious day when we'll see the Savior and be with him, the bright, shining day will come. Just like there was a Friday, and Friday Jesus died, but Sunday was coming. Sunday was coming. And on that Friday when he died, the tears were shed. But Sunday came, and there was rejoicing because the living Christ stood among them and said, feel my hands and feel my side. I'm the resurrected Christ. I was dead. I'm alive forevermore. And because when you trust in me and when you take me as your Savior, Jesus said, you'll live forever just like I will live forever. But if you reject me and go your own way and do your own works, you're going to be lost and you're going to be in a place called hell, where there's sorrow and terribleness forever and ever and ever, and you'll never stop weeping. So come to Jesus, this wonderful Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we come to God through Jesus, through a person. It's not through a church. And I spent over 70 years in the church, helping in the church, working in the church. And I love the church, but it can't save you. Just Jesus saves you. And you say, oh, I've done a lot of good works. God says all our works are like filthy old rags. They're not fit even for the dump, all of your works. And in Ephesians it says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And so we open our heart to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And so Paul goes on, and John goes on, And he says there'll be no more pain. God tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 22, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. We all experience to one degree or another the feeling of pain. And we hate to see people suffer. And we see little children crying. Don't you hate that? And there's emotional pain. Maybe it's coming with a divorce. Maybe with a wayward child. Maybe with a friend who deserts us. Maybe with little children who suffer. I've been to the Mayo Clinic. I've seen those little children suffering from some disease caused by sin coming into this world. And your heart aches for them. No more pain. Put that away. And then he says, no more temple. 7, no more temple. Revelation 21, 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And so this wonderful, we don't have a temple in heaven because Jesus Christ is that temple. And so this Jesus Christ, he is the temple and he is the light of the world. And we rejoice in him and we're in Christ. And so we will be with him forever and ever. And we won't have to go to church on Sunday because we'll be in church all the time. As a matter of fact, there won't be any Sundays or Mondays. There'll be eternity, and time isn't measured in eternity. You see, we have time. We started the Garden of Eden, the creation of the world, carries till Jesus comes again. That's time. But eternity means you don't measure. It has no measure. It's just forever. You say, I can't understand that. Well, I can't understand it either. Are you God? Who do you think you are? And so you just see that this wonderful Jesus, we're going to be in Jesus. He goes on and he says, no more sun or moon. Verse 23, Revelation 21, 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The sun and the moon will be discarded as worthless garments. There'll be no need for light anymore because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And that's all that we need. And he's there forever and ever to bless and to help us and keep us. The blessed Lord Jesus is the light of the world and he's the light of heaven. And this wonderful Lord, it'll be filled with light and glory. And you know, there's something interesting, very interesting. About 900 years before Jesus was born, there was a prophet named Isaiah. And listen to what Isaiah says. He's talking about heaven, and he doesn't know anything about Revelation chapter 21. He doesn't know that description of heaven at all. But he writes before Christ is born, almost 900 years before he's born. Isaiah 60, chapter 60, verse 19. Listen to him. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Oh my God. Just think of this, how that God revealed that to him 900 years before John wrote about it on the Isle of Patmos. But that's precisely what it is. That city, that place where there's no sun, no moon, and no night. There's just this wonderful Savior, the light of the world. It goes on to say, the ninth thing I put down is no more night. Now, I like this because as a child, I was afraid of the dark. I want to tell you something else. I still don't like the dark. And I leave a light burning every night. I got one at kind of low voltage, you know, won't use too much electricity. But I just like to have that light. I'm alone. I just like to have that light there, see? And that's the news we love to hear. We don't like the dark, and so we read in Revelation 22, verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. All sorts of sin and evil actions are done by evil people because, as John tells us, they love the darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. No night there. We won't turn the lights out. We won't turn the lights on anymore. Oh, can you imagine? And I have friends. I have a wife there, Beulah, and she knows all about it. She always was ahead of me. She always was smarter than I was. And now she's seeing it all, and I'm just talking about it, and she's seeing it. Oh, glory. and then there be no more abominations, number 10, Revelation 21, verse 27. And he says, there shall be no wise enter into anything that defileth. And so there'll be no sin in heaven. You'll have to be very careful. You have to be very careful because this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to have the Savior. And so this heaven, what will it be like? I read a Matthew Henry. He is a great 18th century Bible commentator. And he talks about heaven. And he worried a little about the people he left behind. He didn't want them to worry. And this is what he wrote. Would you like to know, and this is, he had this written so when he died. Would you like to know where I am? I'm at home in my Father's house, in the mansions prepared for me here. I am where I want to be, no longer on the stormy sea, but in God's safe, quiet harbor. My sowing time is done. I am now reaping. My joy is the joy of harvest. Would you like to know how it is with me? I am made perfect in holiness. Grace is swallowing me up in glory. Would you like to know what I'm doing? I see God not as through a glass darkly, but face to face. I am engaged in the sweet enjoyment of my precious Redeemer. I'm singing hallelujahs to Him who sits upon the throne. I'm constantly praising Him. Would you like to know what blessed company I keep? It's better than the best on earth. Hear the holy angels and the spirits of the just men made perfect. I am with many of my old acquaintances with whom I worked and prayed and unto who have come here with me. Lastly, would you like to know how long this will contain and continue? He says it is a dawn that never fades. After millions and millions of ages, I'll be as fresh as it is now. Therefore, weep not for me. Matthew Henry died in 1714. He's been there 302 years, and it hasn't even started yet. Oh, my son, friends, we're going to heaven when we die, and that wonderful place is going to be prepared for us and is beyond any description it can make. Paul had a vision of it. Just a glimpse of it, and he says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard what God hath prepared for those that love Him. Oh, but do you have Jesus? You have to have Jesus. You know what Jesus said in John 3, verse 36? He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So it's heaven or hell and nothing in between. And where are you going to spend it? I'll tell you where you're going to spend it. You're going to spend it exactly what you choose. You are choosing it. God isn't ordained you to go to heaven or hell or anything. This divine election is a false doctrine. We have freedom to choose. You can say today, I want Jesus or I don't need Jesus. I accept Him or I reject Him. If you accept Him, you just do this. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. I've sinned against you, God. I've sinned against my wife. I've sinned against my husband. I've sinned against so many people, but basically it's all against you. And I just don't go into all that. Just tell Him you're a sinner. That's all. He doesn't need to have it explained. I'm a poor lost sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin, dear Lord, and I'll live for you the best I can. I'll make you the Lord of my life, and I'll love you and follow you. You pray that, and you'll be a child of God. And when you pray that, you thank Him for saving your soul, and then you tell somebody. But if you reject Him, He says that he that hath a son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You'll never have life until you have Jesus. And you'll never have Jesus until you do it. And some of you men watching today, the Holy Spirit is talking at your heart. And your wife is probably in the other room praying for you. But she can't open the heart for you. You've got to open your own heart. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. And so you have to do it. Pray it now. And if you do, then you write to us. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. We'll send you some literature, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And dear friends, something else, we need your help. You have to help us if we're going to carry on. Jesus said, St. John, James said, you have not because you ask not. We have to tell you we have a need. We do have your need. We've got to have your help. If you don't help us, we can't carry on. And so that's all in your hands. You have to help us. So there's your address. You can send it on the internet if you want to, christianworshiphour.com. And you can send it from anywhere in the world. And also, very quickly, let me say, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and everything we have we have a separate organization, an international organization, checks all our books. So you help us. We need you. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everybody listening today. Pray especially for those in Iraq, Lord, who's suffering for you and dying for you. Give them strength and courage wherever they might be. Bless those, Lord, that are on beds of sickness and those that are shut in and those that are lonely, those that are weary and feel like nobody cares. But we care and you care, oh God, and you'll love them and help them just to trust you and know that underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And you'll never leave us or forsake us, and we're going to all be in heaven if we trust you. But we got to have you. We got to have Jesus. So may multitudes make that prayer right now, the prayer to the penitent. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. That Jesus, we're praying for them. We're praying for them because you love them and we love them. And that's why we carry on the Christian Worship Hour, because we're like you, Lord. You're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So that's what we're here for. We're just doing the best way we can. And it isn't very good, Lord. And the preaching isn't very good a lot of times. There's a lot of mistakes. But the gospel is there. And that's what they need. They don't need a lecture, fine lecture. They need to know Jesus. So, dear God, bring many into the kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you for opening the door. We'll come again next week, Lord willing. It's all in the Lord's hands, you know, 1 hour to the next. Maybe he'll come back again this week. Maybe he'll take us. We don't know. Maybe he'll take you. So you be sure you got Jesus. Then you write. We got it on the screen there. You write. Get our word to us, because we'll answer. We'll answer every letter we get with a question, spiritual question. Thank you, and God bless you. See you next week, Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.